This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Duncan, it's the Official Coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Very good morning to everyone out there. It's 7 on the dot. We've hit it right on the dot, 7 o'clock. That's a good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. We welcome in. Oh, it's Wednesdays with Whaley. Doug is on remote. He's doing some things. Doug, why don't you bring up the and by the way, welcome in. We appreciate it. But why don't you, yeah, certainly, let people in on what you got going on right now and why you are not in studio and why we've moved up to 7 o'clock today.
I am in beautiful Bristol, Connecticut, the home of ESPN. They are our media partners with the XFL. And today our coaching staff will be sprinkled through programming all day at ESPN. We're going to have our uniform reveal. So it's a big day for us at the XFL. We're really launching what will be our go-to programming on ESPN and just letting the world know what we're going to look like, especially on the field, and get to know our coaches in a more in-depth way.
Nice. Well, great stuff. It's a good opportunity for you. And we could do this over the phone. We've done it before. It's not that big of a deal to go ahead and kind of make a workaround. That said, let's rip right into it, and it's why you're here to get the insights. So, receivers are divas, every single one of them, seemingly. Everyone, if you throw them the ball 10 times, they want it 11. If you throw them at 3, they want it 4. If you throw them at 75, they want it 76. That's how they're wired. George Pickens didn't bother me one bit that George Pickens had a little bit of a demonstrative show on the sidelines. That said, if you see that and it's a young receiver, you tell me how you think the coaching staff or how the organization handles a sideline little rift.
It's a teaching moment. I mean, it's one of those things where the thing you love about George Pickens is the thing that you're really going to have to teach him how to harness. And it's one of those things where in football, you'd rather have to dial a guy back with his emotions and his ability to really want to put the team on his back and be a part of the reasons why you win than have to prod him to say, hey, pick it up, let's go. So it's one of those things, especially at that position. I would I'm sure Coach Tomlin, I'm sure the wide receivers coach, the offensive coordinator, everybody's saying, we love the emotion. We understand that you feel you can be a contributor in what we're trying to accomplish, but there's a right way to go about it. And this is the way you want to present yourself, especially on the field, especially in the NFL, where all eyes will be on you. And I don't think I'm with you. I don't think it's a big issue. I think it's a teaching moment, just like you teach anybody that's never been in that position before how to be a professional. And it's just a step in his maturation in being a professional.
Doug, you might have dealt with this a little bit before. I mean, I'm not sure for certain, but I'm sure that it has come up a little bit with Stevie Johnson, a former teammate of mine, obviously, with the Buffalo Bills. Is it different whenever a veteran and an established wide receiver acts out this way compared to a rookie? Is there a difference there? Do you treat a guy that's been around a long time a little bit differently than you may treat a rookie wide receiver that has, you know, lashed out a little bit?
Absolutely, because like you said, this guy's been a professional. He's been in the NFL. He has learned how to be, or he should have learned or been able to see how to conduct himself. So when a veteran does it, then you start thinking about, is there some underlying reason why he's doing this? Is he unhappy with his contract? Is he unhappy with the team and trying to find a way to get force his way out? Is he unhappy with something off the field? And that's why I said it before, and that's why I truly believe mental performance coaches are the most important coaches in a professional's life. One of the biggest muscles in your body is your brain. We have performance coaches. We have strength coaches. We have speed coaches to train all the other muscles in your body. Why not train the most important muscle in your body, and that's the brain? And that's why I think, like I said, mental performance coaches and mental health is something that has just starting to creep into professional sports. But I think that's the wave of the future to make these guys excel at the most high level that they can reach.
Well, do the Steelers have that kind of infrastructure built up right now, Doug, or is that something, another thing that Mike Tomlin trusts himself to take care of?
That's a good question. I do believe they have some I don't know if they have mental performance coaches, but I know they have access, all players have access to mental health professionals. And I think now that you've seen the younger generation, obviously when we were coming up, when I was coming up, it was a taboo subject. It was something that some people thought you were weak to say you needed to go to talk to somebody. But this younger generation, and you see it now, they understand the importance of mental health. So I think if they don't, I'm sure they have that infrastructure, and I'm sure they're going to keep building and building until it gets to be top notch in the league. Because again, there's no reason not to.
Mike Tomlin does seem like a guy to me that would be down with that. He always seems to have an understanding of his guys' emotions. And I mean, we saw it on that podcast before the season started, where you had Ryan Clark talking about Mike Tomlin caring more about the man than the player.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he is all about, because he's not looking at these players as, oh, these are guys that I can get to play at a high level, but it's ultimately going to benefit me and me being known as a great coach and maybe get me in the Hall of Fame. He understands that this is a people business. It's a relationship business. And if you can get players to believe that what you are doing for them is for the betterment of them, they will buy in 110%. Because, Dor, you can talk to this. If you believe a coach is out for the best of you, you know that means you're going to play the best. And when you play the best, that means you get paid the best. So when the players believe in that coach and what that coach is all about, not just schematically, but what he's telling him to make him a better player, they will be all in, and they'll give you more than you've ever asked. And Dorn, you can understand that, because if you have a coach that you don't believe in and you know he doesn't believe in you, what are you going to do? You're not going to perform at a high level.
Right. I mean, you're exactly right. You want to perform for your coach and you want to perform for your team. If you have somebody that gives you that ammo to do that, you play at a high level. I mean, what about the situation with, Deontay Johnson and George Pickens? I mean, is there any turmoil that could be built up there the way George Pickens did walk off the side? Now, I don't want to make this a crazy story, because it really isn't a crazy story. It is something that happened and they're moving on from it. But if you really dissect it a little bit, George Pickens being young and doing what he did with all the cameras and eyes on him could run the risk of throwing other guys, his teammates, underneath the bus, especially when Deontay Johnson was going through not getting passes thrown his way for a portion of the season. Kenny Pickett being a young quarterback, is there drama between Kenny Pickett and George Pickens? What is that dynamic, and how should George Pickens approach it from now on with running the risk of possibly throwing his other teammates under the bus?
I think you brought up a great point of Kenny Pickett's relationship. And this can also be not only a teaching moment, but a moment where he can start grabbing that captainship in that locker room. And he can bring George Pickens in. He can bring Deontay Johnson and say, fellas, we're in this together. We are brothers. We're teammates. So let's find a way to make sure everybody's on the same page. And guess what? There are going to be games when, Deontay, you only get one or two targets. Or Pickens, you're only going to get one or two targets. But let's look at the grand scheme of things. There's going to be other times where you're going to get double-digit targets. So it's all in the flow of the game. But believe you me, fellas, I'm in it for us to win. And if we win, winning cures all. And if we win, guess what? We all get paid. So this could be a really good moment for Kenny to exercise that ability to all his, show his ability to all his teammates that he can be that leader. He can be that galvanizing force in the locker room and on the field to bring everybody together to obtain that ultimate goal.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Would you get George Pickens an early one as part of the script this week?
I think yes. I think what you do, if you're looking at Matt Canada and the game plan, let's get both those guys involved. And it's easy to do. You got wide receiver screens. Instead of jet sweeps to Gunnar Olszewski, give it to Deontay Johnson. Give it to Pickens. Those are the types of things that you can scheme up, and it's very easy to do. And then you get not only the wide receivers in the flow, but you get Kenny Pickett some easy throws to start gaining confidence. And then guess what? Then players start, the defense starts playing, oh, well, wait a minute, maybe they're just going to stay short in all this short attack. So then they're going to start clamping down on the routes, and then that's when you can do a little pump and go and then hit it. And that's where I don't want to get into the offensive corner, but that's where I struggle with him. He never sets plays up. It's always just like, oh, let's run this play. No, let's run this play, and guess what? There's a boot off of that, and then there's a pump and go off of that. And you can set the defenses up. Instead of having – and this is a – when you hear any offensive coordinator says, well, the defense was dictating to us, that's where I struggle. Kyle Shanahan never says the defense dictated to us what we did. As an offensive coordinator, you should be dictating to the defense what they should be on their heels, and that's where – I think it's going to be, until you get someone in that can has that mindset, you're always going to be scoring 16, 19 points against people like Atlanta Falcons and the Colts.
Doug, yesterday Mike Tomlin insisted they don't listen to the outside noise. It's all BS. But then he also started to carefully craft what would be seen as the final five-week narrative of us against the world and nobody thinks we can do it. So how much of the quote-unquote outside noise actually gets heard and talked about inside the building?
He has to get prepared for the press conference. So he's going to be aware of what are the major talking points or issues that are being brought up by us in the media, not only locally but nationally, so he can be prepared to answer those questions. Now, for me, I understand how he can say, go into this locker room, no one believes us, it's us against the world. But if you look at that schedule, the remaining schedule, especially with Lamar Jackson out, who really?
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Maybe the Raiders, if Josh Jacobs is playing, they're starting to hit it and play well. But everybody else, I think it's going to be, in my opinion, if they go less than 4-1, people are going to be like, oh, wait a minute here, in my opinion. I mean, if you look at it.
It's Wednesdays with Whaley. We come right back. A lot more all the way until 8 o'clock. We moved it up. Programming note, you're already in it, so you probably don't need a programming note. But nonetheless, Doug has moved up from the traditional 9 o'clock hour until the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Ray Fittipaldo to join us coming up at 8 o'clock in his regular spot. But it is Wednesdays with Whaley right now. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. And right now, I tell you all about maybe your body just hurting. QC Kinetics wants to be there for you. Don't wait for the holidays. Get in now, so that you feel better right away. QC Kinetics, two great locations right here in Western Pennsylvania, Robinson and in Cranberry, 724-201-4230. I'll give you the number again before I get out of here in just a moment. But listen, QC Kinetics, advanced regenerative medicine to restore and repair damaged joint tissues, giving you your life back. If you're tired of steroid shots that don't work, or if you're trying to avoid surgery, call QC Kinetics now. Schedule that free consultation. Listen, it's an all-natural treatment that can get you lasting relief and will. Call now. Appointments are available for this coming week. Again, that number in just a moment. But maybe your hips, your shoulders, your elbows, they can all be treated with natural biologics from your own body. You're sick and tired of living with that constant pain? Get to QC Kinetics. That number, like I told you, 724-201-4230. That's 724-201-4230. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. Doug Whaley joins us remotely right now. It may not be one traumatic hit, and it may not be one felling blow, and one thing you see on television, you go, that was it. That was it right there, Doug. But are the hits starting to pile up for Lamar Jackson? And I've been a firm believer, and you may disagree, and that's fine. This is just my thought here. That you have a quantifiable, a finite number of hits you can absorb in a career, and then it kind of leads to injury or it all goes downhill from there or it just ends, and there's only so many you can take. He's taken a lot, man. Is this within his best interest?
Well, you're right. I mean, obviously, look at what you have to wear to play the sport. So it's not a natural thing for the body to absorb and put through this punishment. And then you add to the fact also, not only the hits during the season, but the stress you put on your body and your joints to get prepared for the season. And that's one of those things where when you got a guy and you look at his build, he's not a naturally thick, stocky guy that, like a Josh Allen, that can absorb these hits. He's more of a wiry guy. So when you're just exposing yourself, the longer you play, to injury and wearing your body down, but especially when you have a quarterback built like Lamar Jackson and the style of play that makes him who he is, it is going to erode his ability to perform at that high level. And that's why you hope to see a guy like that every year get better and better of being able to play the position from the pocket and not rely on his running ability as much. Now, that also goes into the scheme of what the offensive coordinator wants to do and have his maturation process mirror what the offensive coordinator wants to do. But Greg Roman, he's one of those guys that's his system. So it's a catch-22. Can you have a guy like Lamar Jackson play 10 years at that high level? That would be an anomaly, in my opinion. So the organization as a whole has to understand, especially now, if we're going to pay this guy, what's our end game? Is it going to be, let's keep this style of play and just cross our fingers and hopefully he doesn't get hurt and can play 16 games for another 4 or 5 years? Or are we going to put in place a maturation process of his ability to play the quarterback position, not as a running quarterback, but as a quarterback that in the end, when things break down, can run?
Doug, if you're Greg Roman and the Baltimore Ravens, what if you don't need Lamar Jackson to play 10 more years under this system? What if it's Tyler Huntley? What if Tyler Huntley goes out here Sunday and, you know, Lamar Jackson, say he's out for 4 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is, whatever the time that Tyler Huntley has to play, what if he shows that he's capable of winning games and taking this team to a place where they could be successful? What do you do in that situation if Tyler Huntley goes out there and plays well?
Well, first of all, if you do that and you pass the mantle to Tyler Huntley, you better be right. Now, if you are, though, then that sets up that run for your organization a little longer because you're not paying that hefty salary to your star quarterback. You'll have a quarterback on a rookie contract, and that's where you can surround him with some high-quality pieces because you don't have such an enormous part of your salary cap eaten up by one person. So that's the utopia. As a NFL GM, you're thinking, if I can find a quarterback, a young quarterback that we can build around and can play at a high level and help us win every 4 years, and I don't have to pay, right now the going rate is anywhere from $20 to $50 million for a quarterback, then yeah, absolutely you want to do it. But again, you just better be right, because you look at what happened to John Robinson and the general manager at the Tennessee Titans. He chased away A.J. Brown. They go, he bashes them over the head, and they lose, and he loses his job. So it's a high-stress business, and you got to make tough decisions, but you just got to be right, because there are consequences to every decision you make.
Based on the last 9 weeks, his quarterback rating sits right about 80.7 over those last 9 weeks. Only one rushing touchdown during that time, too. Doug, let's just cut right to the chase. Is Lamar Jackson worth a big-money long-term contract extension?
If you're going to do it, you are going to be all in. You are building your offensive scheme around what he does. And I hate to say it's a hope and not a plan. You hope that he develops into a pocket passer, but it's one of those things where there's a lot more questions. Anytime you sign a quarterback to long-term extension, you always have that little inkling of like, is this guy going to perform to what he's expected to perform? Because who much is given, much is expected. But when you have a guy that this is part of his game, is exposing his body to vicious hits and injuries, you got both fingers crossed now, because you just put out an enormous outlay of cash. Because you got to understand, if you sign this guy to a $240 million contract, 90% of that has to be in cash in the bank to show that you funded it. So you're going to your owner and saying, you know what, we're going to sign this guy and all these other people you're paying, but you need to put 90% of that contract in the bank. So you got that, and then next year, let's say he only plays 8 games, your owner's going to be like, oh, wait a minute. So it's one of those things where you're always crossing your fingers, but when you look, and that's why you look at running backs. There are not many running backs now that perform to that second contract value. You're not getting a return on your investment. Again, because in the long and short of it, because it's such a violent game, and these players have been putting stress on their body since they were probably 10 or 11 years old by playing, by working out, and that's why rest and recuperation is one of those things that I think is more important nowadays than going out and trying to get your body ready, as in lifting weights, overtraining, because of the stress on the joints. A lot of these guys are manufactured to the weight that they're playing at. You add, so that's stress on your joints and all of that stuff, and you're carrying extra weight, and then you get pounded. So all that accumulation exposes these players now to a lot more injuries than way back in, let's say, the 70s or 80s, when they used to come to camp to get in shape. Now these guys are in shape all year round. So that's a long answer to say, I would be nervous about it, but if you're going to do it, you just say, us as an organization, and especially new owner, this is what we're doing. We're going all in, and there are going to be some risk factors, and we're going to be holding our breath, but we believe in this guy.
Doran's going to tell us about something really quick. We'll take a break and come right back. It's more Wednesdays with Whaley here on the Fan Morning Show.
Great marketing gets great results, and that means more money for you. This is Doran Dickerson of the Fan Morning Show, and I want to tell you about the absolute best real estate agent in the region, and that's Gina Giampietro. My buddy used Gina back in the day, and when he found out that I was working with Gina, he just gave me raving, raving results. How fast and efficient she was with the whole selling and buying process. All kinds of unbelievable stories he's given me about Gina, and I could tell you, she is working for me to sell my home right as we speak. Everybody has their phone about 80% of the time in their hand. So go to Instagram. If you have Instagram, and check out Gina's Instagram. That's Gina_the_realtor. And check out all the fantastic work she has done over the years and all the fantastic work she's doing now. Gina offers a no obligation guarantee. If she doesn't do her job at any point, you are free to get out of the contract. That's right. Absolutely no obligations. Pull out your phone. Give Gina a call, 724-602-9752, or Google Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
Until 8 o'clock, it is Wednesdays with Whaley Crowley.
Doug, if you were the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin mouths off to a fan and says, I'm effing working, what would your reaction to that be? Would you reprimand him? Would you have a conversation about it? Or would you just move on?
I just think that you would bring it up and be like, hey, coach, you know, we got to be careful because there's always cameras and eyes on us. But he's Mike Tomlin. He's been in this business over 15 years as a head coach. I mean, 15 years as a head coach and been in the business longer than that as an assistant coach. It's just, it shows you how emotional and intense this profession is. And sometimes you just lose it. And you just chalk it up to say, hey, obviously you don't want this to happen all the time. It happened this one time. We'll let it go. But just be more cognizant of your surroundings and what's going on. And I'm sure he knows that. But again, this guy's focused. I mean, he's going out there ready to go to battle with his troops. And some guy just sticks a camera in his face. I'm not saying he did the right thing. I don't condone, but I understand.
Did you anticipate somebody asking about it at the press conference yesterday and it didn't get asked?
No, I don't think so, because that's one of those things where, in my opinion, the press conference is about football and not things that are in social media. So I did not expect it to be asked.
Isn't this kind of what you want from your head coach, to be in tune and be in the zone and be so focused that you're out there trying to win a game? I mean, so say Mike Tomlin goes over to that guy, takes a picture with that guy, and they lose the football game. Would people be up in arms? Like, isn't this you want?
Yeah. It's one of those things where the best answer he could have gave is not an answer at all and just kept walking. Because, as they say, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So you're completely right there.
Where do you think he's at with 5 weeks to go? I know we mentioned earlier the idea of him building this us against the world narrative and nobody thinks we can do it and all that comes with it as they build towards these final five games of the season. How is Mike Tomlin, you've been in the building with him, how is he getting this team ready for these final five games in a schedule that sets out, you pointed it out earlier as well, for them to possibly get there? How does he balance, hey, we know we should be beating some of these teams and definitely right there with a couple of these teams on our schedule, but nobody thinks we can do it?
Well, I think the way you have to approach it is they're looking at that schedule too, saying, wait a minute, we have a chance, but you have to get them focused to saying, you think we have a chance, but this is the NFL. Any given Sunday, something can come up where that team across from us, they're getting paid too. They can beat us. So let's not sit there and think we've arrived. Let's not think that we are the hunted now. We are still the hunter, because no one gave us a chance early in the season, not in the middle of the season. And now that we've got a stacked two games winning streak together, we can't think that we're the creme de la creme and we can just show up in an arena and people are going to just bow down and let us win. So he still has to instill that hunger in these guys and not to look at the opponent's record and think, oh, we got this, because that's when you can trip up. And that's one of the things I think he does best, is making sure everybody in that building is singularly focused on the task at hand, and that's beating the next opponent.
It's Wednesdays with Whaley. Sorry about the pause there. All right, where are – the Steelers are 5-7. They have five left. You said it's reasonable they could win four, maybe even win out. Is there a disappointment level if that doesn't happen, or has Mike Tomlin already done a really good job? Because I know Andrew was talking about this yesterday, and it was a fascinating conversation, it really was, on the job that Tomlin has done to this point.
I think you have to let the whole script play out to really put a grade on the job he's done. But to this point, with him switching to a rookie quarterback and having a lot of injuries, your defensive MVP and out for a number of games, I think he's done what Mike Tomlin does, and that keeps his team focused and being in every game. Now, to me, this year and the way the schedule is set up has helped him that way because of the softness of a lot of the opponents he's played. But still, this is the NFL, and any game on Sunday, you can get beat. So I think he's done a typical Mike Tomlin job of saying, no matter what the circumstances are, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be ready to play and try to play at a high level for a majority of games that they set out and put cleats on that grass.
Doug, is Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada married to each other? Like, if Kenny Pickett plays well, does that make Matt Canada look better? And will they make the decision at the end of the year if Kenny Pickett does continue on this trajectory of getting better and better, and it is simultaneously with Matt Canada, will they make that decision to keep Matt Canada next year?
That's a very good question. And to me, that's hard to answer unless you're in that building. And you say, why is that? Because I just take what happened last game where Kenny came over to the sideline and says, I want to run this. This is the best play. And it was with Coach Sullivan and Coach Tomlin. And I'm not saying Canada didn't have an input in that, but who is really driving that cart? Is it Canada driving Kenny's progression, or is it Kenny and Mike Sullivan, Mike Tomlin, and the whole offensive side of the ball driving Kenny's progression? And you really can't discern that unless you're in that building. Now, and it's a good question, because guess what winning does? Winning cures all. Winning starts making those warts not as noticeable. So that's the thing that you really got to be careful about and not get caught up. Let's say they go 3-2 or 4-1. Oh, wow. Then Matt Canada, he's saving his job. Look what he's done with Kenny Pickett. But you really have to be in the building to see, again, who is driving that progression. And it's hard from the outside to say yes or no, but you can see why someone would say, well, they went 4-1 and look what they did. Let's keep Matt Canada.
What's more,
I still struggle with that.
What's more important this offseason, the first full NFL offseason of Kenny Pickett's career, Doug, the consistency of having the same guy and working in concert with him, as Doran just brought up there, or the idea of bringing in someone new with fresh ideas that can help him take another step?
Here's something that everybody has to fight against, and that's why I was talking about this winning. Accepting mediocrity as the norm, as, oh, wow, we won these four games. And again, you look at that schedule, like, well, those guys aren't that, but we got to keep Canada for consistency. Well, where's your bar? I would rather get the best person for the job and knowing that the ultimate bar is to compete for a championship. Can you compete for a championship with Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett in the next 2 or 3 years or next 3 or 4 years? Or are you going to come in with somebody else that can get you there quicker and get you to higher levels than Matt Canada is? So you really have to, the organization has to sit back and Coach Tomlin, Omar, and Art saying, what is Matt Canada feeling? That's the biggest question. It's not, and can that ceiling be tied to Kenny Pickett's ceiling? And is Matt Canada's ceiling going to keep Kenny from exceeding his ceiling? Or can we go out and get somebody that has a very high ceiling and can bring Kenny Pickett up to his ceiling and make our offense score more than 3 points against Buffalo Bills, which are the creme de la creme in the AFC?
Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we have to take a break. I want to come back and talk about ceilings and about players and about the offense and about Matt Canada and how that all marries and ties into each other. Can we do that in a moment here, Doug?
You got it.
Absolutely. This sounds great. This is something, a road I want to go down and get the particulars. More Wednesdays with Whaley up until 8 o'clock right here, Fan Morning Show. All right. Ray Fittipaldo, top of the hour, 15 more minutes with Doug Whaley. It's Wednesdays with Whaley. Doug, I said hold that thought in terms of the meshing and development and the marriage of an offensive coordinator and things. We spend an inordinate amount of time, I think. Inordinate's the wrong word. We spend a lot of time talking about Matt Canada and the development of Kenny Pickett. Do we, as we get lost in all that, not spend enough time talking about how Matt Canada is supposed to develop Najee Harris, and how Matt Canada is supposed to develop George Pickens, and how Matt Canada is supposed to develop an offensive line, and how he's supposed to bring Pat Freiermuth along? Do we get so caught up in the quarterback to offensive coordinator relationship that we forget his job in totality is making this offense function? And even George Pickens, he's a gigantic person in this offense. How's Matt Canada making him better?
Yeah, and that was the point of what I was saying that last segment. And like, listen, just because we're winning and Kenny is actually playing better, you've got to look at it in totality. You got to look at it and, well, Pickens only had 2 targets last game. Well, wait a minute. If you look at really astute offensive coordinators, they know how to get their playmakers the ball. And they don't let a defense dictate, well, they rolled the coverage to Deontay Johnson because he's an X. Well, guess what? Move him around. You have all these motions in your offense. Motion him to get him free. Put him in a bunch set. Put him at Z instead of X. There's ways to contrive plays to get all these people the ball. And that's what you got to look at the macro. And that's a great point, Cullen. And I think that's what I'm nervous that people will start to not think about if they go on this winning streak. They're just going to say, oh, we won and Penny's doing a lot better. And you see the maturation process in his game and not look at the offense in totality. And we're having every game, it seems like someone, instead of being distributing it to all your playmakers, one person is getting focused. That, to me, is a limited view of the offensive plan by offensive coordinator, and you don't need a limited view, especially in the NFL today.
Okay, Doug, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. We talk about all those other positions and scenarios and getting guys involved. This offensive line has played pretty well. They played pretty well against the Falcons. Now, I know the Falcons' defense wasn't the best, but they still played very well. They were, you know, going into the season, this offensive line was the biggest question mark of this football team. They've seemed to get it together. Doesn't it all start up front? And can't we point to Matt Canada saying that you have done a decent job of assembling these five guys to make sure that our offense can play and be competitive and potentially win football games?
I think what you can point to is, yes, the maturation of those guys. Yes, they're playing better. But also, I will give him credit for, especially in the running game, the types of run. He's really realized that these offensive line, especially, and our running back, do better with north-south running game instead of those east-west running plays. So I think I do give him credit for that he's changed that philosophy. An offensive lineman would rather be going forward instead of sideways because it's an aggressive game, and that puts that aggressive back into the offensive lineman's mentality instead of the defensive lineman. Because if you're going east and west, defensive linemen are going up the field, just straight physics. They have more leverage than you, and it's a harder block to make. So I do give him that credit. But again, you can't just take, oh, that one singular aspect of the offense. He's an offensive coordinator, not a run game coordinator. He's an offensive coordinator, not just a quarterback developer. He's an offensive coordinator. You've got to coordinate the whole offense. That's where we got to be careful if we go on this winning streak to really dissect what his offense has brought to the table.
Doug, you mentioned the run game. Is Najee Harris back to where he needs to be, or do you need to see more still?
I think what you need to see is a continued production at the level he's starting to obtain for more than one or two games. We got to make sure he can do this game after game so we know that we can depend on him. And not only production-wise, but health-wise. Is he going to be one of those guys that after five or six games, he's going to have a little nick here that's going to hamper him? Then he comes back two or three games later and he gets a little nick here. So that's the thing that I want to see, him be able to continue the production but also stay healthy.
Doug, we don't have a ton of time here, so this might not be fair, but transfer portal, your thoughts?
Man, I tell you this much, it's a tricky situation, and I'll say this. It gives players a quick out. And that's one of the things that I struggle with, because the thing I love about sports, it teaches you how to deal with adversity and overcome adversity. The transfer portal gives you an out. Oh, I didn't get playing time, now I'm going to transfer. Oh, it was political that I didn't get on the field, I'm going to get out. Instead of staying and fighting through adversity, and really in life, understanding where you stack. Sometimes you're not going to be the best, and you're not going to be a starter, you're going to be a backup, but you can be a contributor to a team. So it really erodes the team mentality in sports.
Doug Whaley, Wednesdays with Whaley. Thank you, Doug. We appreciate it. We appreciate it so, so much. We will talk again next week.
Until next week, fellas.
All right. Wednesdays with Whaley. Man, this thing is taking off. A lot of people weighing in. I just got a text here, and somebody writes, and they didn't write FFS. They wrote the swear word. So they wrote that, and they said, FFS, Colin, quit clutching your pearls. It's a non-issue. If you guys were doing a live show in public somewhere and I shoved my camera on your in your face and started acting crazy, you'd be pretty upset. Did I miss the part where somebody shoved the camera in Mike Tomlin's face?
Or even acted crazy.
I'm so lost on this. I keep going back and forth on this guy in the tunnel with Mike Tomlin. And it's like, it's so old news, but it isn't because of the reaction some has. This reaction some can never be critical of Mike Tomlin, and that's why it stays being news. If this was any other coach in the NFL and you saw that, it would definitely be news, and you'd go, man, like, if this was another coach, you'd go, man, that guy's kind of acting crazy. Why would he do that? Or it would, it's just at the very least not newsworthy. It's definitely newsworthy. For people who are trying to shout it down as saying it's not newsworthy, it is.
What if it was a player?
They'd be fined.
Right? They would be.
If a player said that same thing to a fan in the hallway and it got caught, they would be fined.
They'd also be getting absolutely crushed in the court of public opinion.
But even, I don't think, Tomlin's untouchable in this town because, again, too many people, and I'll say it, they're members of the Pittsburgh Shillers. They don't want to say anything negative. That's neither here nor there. So is this story, really. But the knee jerk from so many fans, and even some in the media, it's a nothing. It might not, and it isn't a big deal, but it's more than a nothing. When a NFL head coach swears at a fan who's, or maybe it's an indictment on our society, that so many people in this Barstool era see this as, oh, that's cool. It ain't cool to talk to people like that.
No, it's not, especially when this guy's talking to somebody that may well be one of his heroes, right? Somebody he looks up to, and maybe there's a conversation there whether or not you need to be doing that with NFL players or coaches or whomever, putting them up on a pedestal. But I try to put myself in the position, or let's say one of my buddies or a family member, who they go up to Mike Tomlin and they're just cheering him on. Hey, man, go out there, you get this victory. Hey, man, I'm effing working. I just think in that moment, you might have lost that fan. And there are bigger things, bigger issues in the world than losing that fan. But then that fan, you can kind of relate him to the every fan. I just think it's a bad look. Is it the biggest story going? No. But is it a story? Absolutely it is.
And it just, all right, there are so many people who are, Mike Tomlin is the very worst ever. Mike Tomlin is the greatest ever. And both sides are coming out. And the reasonable middle is kind of where it is, as with many stories here. But the people who are Mike Tomlin is untouchable, they are just, they're starting to be obnoxious. They really are. No matter what the Steelers' record is, no matter what his behavior is, no matter, I'm not trying to put the guy in jail. I'm not trying to fine the guy. I'm not trying to discipline the guy. I'm not even saying that a member of the brass should talk to him. I'm just saying it's definitely at least a talking point. And for some, people are bent out of shape that you even bring it up.
It's definitely a weird look, especially when you consider it from a guy who is always so measured and so controlled in front of the spotlight.
Yeah. And again, it didn't have to be an adversarial moment yesterday at the news conference. Somebody should have asked just like this. Mike, there's something with a fan all over the internet as you were walking to the tunnel. What happened there? And leave him an out to even make it a comedic moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? Somebody send that guy a Steelers shirt if you could. Where's the equipment, guys?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know?
We're so afraid to be the one who sets him off and makes him mad. And I don't get it.
Right. He could have made it a funny moment. Man, what size is that guy's shirt? Get him a shirt. Get his address. He's a big fan.
I guess I got to give a dollar to the swear jar.
Something like that.
Yes.
That's it. That's all you have to say. Then it's done.
Then it's finished. And we all have a laugh.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle. Great service, too. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Rainy, early, high in the 50s.
That's the weather.
Thank you, Paul. Doran Dickerson here for Noah Gabriel and Company Jewelers. Guys, if you're thinking about popping the question this month, then you have to pop into Noah Gabriel and Company Jewelers. You have one shot to get this right. Do not fumble. I trust the folks at Noah Gabriel and Company Jewelers. And with the perfect ring guarantee, Noah Gabriel eliminates all the stress you have in.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.